even if you're not a parent.
No.
You know, we're surrounded by people all the time. Don't you want to be prepared to help? So, yeah, we're going to do a little CPR today. And if you ever pass that thing on the wall that says break this in case of emergency, yeah, we're talking about that, too. Lavika Shah is here, instructor with the American Red Cross in Greater New York, to give us a lesson. And it does not mean you don't go to your local Red Cross for a lesson. It just means you'll have a good idea of what you will be experiencing.
It's very true. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming in. You do still have to go and do the whole Red Cross course.
It's very important. It's great to have some hands-on practice, especially on something as unscary as a mannequin. And kind of develop that comfort with the skill itself. So we're big on that.
As new parents, John, maybe you did. I know I did when we had our babies. We took the CPR class because we're just, you know.
You never know.
We have a baby. We're in charge of another life. But it's not just babies. I mean, like.
Very true.
You know, you're on the train, you're on the plane, something happens to somebody.
I tell all my students that the statistics show that hopefully you will never, ever have to use these skills that you learn in class. But if you do, it's more likely that you're going to use it on somebody you know, a family member, a friend, a coworker. So it's really important just to get trained for that just-in-case moment. So I'm a big advocate of that.
How do we even know when to step in to offer CPR?
Very good question. We say CPR is only to be used on any victim who is unconscious, so they are not responding to anything. Make sure you check to see your friend is not napping or passed out because of some substance before you start performing CPR on them. If they are not breathing and show no other signs of life. So if a victim is completely unresponsive, CPR is probably their best.
And their color, too, would you notice? I mean, does their color change?
No.
Does that map, like...
It might, but it depends on the person. So we.
But if they're talking and they're in distress, that is not the time to practice CPR.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe they're talking and they're conscious, they're experiencing some cardiac emergency symptoms. But if they're still conscious, please do not start pumping on their chest.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt more than that.
Well, you can. I mean, you can harm somebody if you do it wrong. I mean, that's what I was always taught. It's like you've got to place your hands in the right position. You really have to learn. You can't just go in there and do it because you could hurt them.
The wonderful thing is we've come up with a course, so to speak, called Citizen CPR, which is how anybody can help a victim who suddenly collapses in an emergency. So if you witness an adult suddenly collapse, all you need to do is check to see if they respond first. Do the tap on the shoulders. Are you okay? Can you hear me? Hello? And then you position your hands, one over the other, directly in the center of the chest, and start compressing. We say hard and fast, at least 100 compressions per minute, that rate, and just keep going till EMTs arrive.
So do you just count in your head?
Mm-hmm. A joke we always tell our students is sing Stay Alive in your head. If you're morbid, another one bites the dust, that's me, but I don't recommend doing that one out loud. But get that pace in your head and just keep going.
Now, the actual pumping, what is it doing? Is it pushing blood through, making the heart pump?
It is. Essentially, you're trying to trick the body into thinking that everything's okay. So we're trying to emulate what the heart would do. We say 100 compressions per minute because you're actually squeezing the person's heart to manually pump blood throughout the body.
They also need to breathe, though.
Yeah.
If you get trained in full CPR, yes, you learn how to then give the breaths, which provide new oxygen to the blood, which is why I say if somebody suddenly collapses, there's still some oxygen in their blood that you can continue to pump throughout the body.
Oh, I see. So if they have been, if it's a situation where they've been unconscious for how long? A minute? 2 minutes?
You know, we have actually no idea. If you walk in on somebody and you didn't see them, it could have been 30 seconds, it could have been 10 seconds, it could be 5 minutes. Who knows?
So immediately start compression.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sing in your head a song that's appropriate for the occasion.
Yes.
At least get deep down. We might have to give them the breath.
We also recommend that for children and infants, even if they suddenly collapse, it's better to give them the breath as well, which is, again, why I'm going to plug the Red Cross website. And take a visit your local chapter, take a class. They're really not that long. It's just great skills to have, the full CPR course.
And how often do you have to repeat it to stay refreshed?
We updated our curriculum nationally in April, and now a certification is valid for 2 years. But we do recommend, you know, we give you all these materials in the classes themselves and online. So every few weeks, take a look, refresh your memory. The more practice you have, not in real life, but in the classroom setting, the more comfortable you're going to be with the skills.
So does this come up in class? Someone collapses in front of you. more often than not now there's a cell phone readily available or a regular phone somewhere near or around you. I mean, it's rare, honestly, that there's not somebody with a cell phone. Do you make the call first for emergency help? Do you start compressions first? Because once you start, you can't really stop.
Right. It's true. I always say it's better to get 911 there right away, especially if you're the only person.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that there's going to be advanced help on the way to help you out. And if there's somebody else there, direct them to call 911 while you start giving compressions.
We were always told, if there's someone else there, you start to work on the person. And the wording was, call 911, don't hang up.
Yes.
And why is it don't hang up?
Don't hang up. Well, a lot of times when people call 911, they get a situation where it's like, hi, this person's unconscious. Click. So we want to know all the information. Where are you? What type of help is being given?
Right.
Do you know anything else about this victim, like their age, their body,
medicine?
Right.
Yeah. So it's really important to stay on the line, answer all the questions, hang up when the 911 operator directs you to. I also say it's important to tell those bystanders, come back to me if you're going to like leave to go make that call.
Yeah.
I want to make sure you actually
come
did
back,
and get distracted.
Now, what about the liability issue? You know, we're all so afraid of getting sued. We're all, you know, if somebody collapses, like, well, I'm not going to touch him or her because I might get sued.
Yeah. The fear of liability is the number one reason why New Yorkers won't get involved in emergencies. But there are lots of things you can do to protect yourself. And the biggest thing that everybody needs to know is the Good Samaritan Law protects anybody who willingly gives first aid care in an emergency situation, provided you act in good faith, like you're not demanding money in return for the care that you give. I'll save you, but I'm just going to tell something.
Get your checkbook.
Exactly. Don't do that. Don't be negligent or reckless with the care that you provide. So it's number three, act within the scope of your training. Do what you were trained to do.
Right.
And then number four, don't abandon your victim. You stay with them until, if it's life-threatening, the EMTs arrive and get all the information from
right.
you, and they tell you that it's okay to leave.
Let's do the breath thing.
Yeah.
It's 100, it's 100 compressions per minute.
Yes.
Pretty much if you just go over and over again.
You're doing the job.
And that's not easy, but that's what you should do.
That's what you should do. And if you do take a full CPR course, you learn how to incorporate the breaths in that, and then you would be getting cycles of 30 compressions followed by 2 breaths. So citizen CPR is just continuous chest compressions. Take whatever blood is and oxygen is already there and keep pumping it.
Mm-hmm.
Full CPR, you get to provide new oxygen to the
and body. You hold the nose. I mean, there's obviously more than what I'm saying, but you hold the nose, open the mouth, put the head back.
Yeah, you have to open the airway and pinch the nose shut to make sure breaths get into the lungs. Again, you're trying to trick the body into thinking everything is fine.
It's all good. Got oxygen.
No worries.
Pumping going on. It's fine. Sometimes there's not pumping going on. And increasingly, there has been a trend to install equipment for anybody to kind of jumpstart another person's heart. I mean, you have to be really sure that it's not going right.
That's right. I always see it like on the planes. You see the head
mm-hmm.
just...
The AEDs.
Yeah.
Well, AEDs
even
are...
Even the schools they have.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I think that they need to be in more places, actually.
Yeah.
AEDs are a wonderful tool to be used with CPR. You would never use an AED if you're not going to use CPR.
Mm-hmm.
But they are very user-friendly machines that tell you what to do every step of the way. They are able to identify any abnormal heart rhythms and, if necessary, can deliver a shock to correct the abnormal heart rhythm. So you're actually tackling the problem from two separate angles.
But how do you know when to use it? I mean, how do you know?
I mean, I would be afraid I would be shocking someone's heart.
Right.
Whose heart didn't need it.
Well, that's the thing. The AED tells you what to do. So you're not actually pushing the shock unless it detects something wrong.
Oh, so it'll give you a little signal
mm-hmm.
on the box?
Yeah. So the first thing you do when you get an AED is determine if this person actually needs it. And the way you know if they actually need it is if they need CPR. So if they're unconscious, they're
mm-hmm.
unresponsive, they're not breathing, if you're about to do CPR and the AED is right there, step one when you get an AED is to turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems self-explanatory, but like I said, it's going to tell you what to do. So why not turn it on and get those instructions going?
I didn't realize it was so automated.
Yeah, it's going to walk you through the steps.
Because I've heard there was a situation where it was on a plane recently. It was in the news, and they had to use one, and it was successful, and, you know.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the flight attendants were all trained. But we're going to get trained, too. Just talk us through the basic steps of an AED. Because some of us have never seen one except
sure.
in the glass case.
Right. And they look a little intimidating in the glass case.
Mm-hmm.
Break in case of emergency.
Break in case of emergency. Open it up. Turn it on. It's going to say apply pads to patient's bare chest or something along those lines depending on the model. So you got to take off the clothes. If there's any medicine patches, you take those off. You wipe the chest down to make sure the pads will stick. Pads have pictures on them. So you follow the pictures. One goes on the upper right side of the chest.
Mm-hmm.
One goes on the lower left side of the chest. And then the AED will say, everybody stand clear, analyzing.
And you say, everybody stand clear.
Now, why stand clear? What's happening?
It's analyzing the victim's heart, basically. Mm-hmm. And if somebody is touching the victim, it might mess up the analysis.
Mm-hmm. You might actually think more is happening than there is.
Right. Yeah. And then it might not deliver enough electricity, all kinds of stuff. So it's better stand clear, let it analyze, figure out what's going on.
This is way smarter than your phone, Brian.
Yes, it really is.
Fantastic, right? Fantastic. I love it. And then after it analyzes, it will determine whether a shock is necessary or not. If it is, it will prompt you to deliver a shock. The button will light up, and when it lights up, again, make sure everybody's standing clear before you
push
it. You push the button.
Oh, my gosh. And it delivers a shock depending on what it needs. It's
depending
not
depending on what the heart needs.
Right.
And it also determines, you know, how much electricity is needed.
So this is trying to shock the heart into starting. Give it a...
contrary to popular belief, AEDs do not restart the heart. They actually stop the heart for a split second. So it takes whatever abnormal rhythm's going on, it just stops it, and it allows the heart to resume an effective rhythm on its own.
Like resetting it?
Mm-hmm. So if you're having a heart attack, and
does that work?
If you're having a heart attack, you're conscious. You're experiencing some chest pain, some discomfort, sweaty, all the breathing problems, all that other stuff that we associate with heart attacks. When a person becomes unconscious as a result of a heart attack, they're in cardiac arrest.
Mm-hmm.
So the heart has stopped functioning either because the muscle is damaged or the electrical system that regulates the heart has been damaged.
Now, time is of the essence. Mm-hmm. So how long does this process take? I mean, it sounds like, well, you open up the shirt, you wipe it down. I mean, you got to kind of move it along, I mean, right?
Sure. Ideally, there's somebody who's performing CPR while you're setting up the AED.
Okay.
If that doesn't happen, you do it as quickly as you can, but it's important to hook up the AED because after a shock is delivered or if no shock is indicated, then it will prompt you to begin CPR. Alternate.
I didn't realize it was so automated. I mean, step by step.
Now you know you should have no fear, but you should consider an AED machine as an opportunity to help somebody who's in dire straits.
Absolutely.
Although you should still take the course if you have never taken a CPR course before.
Absolutely.
Because that will be part and parcel of it, will it not?
It
okay,
will.
So people, I know you're from the New York area, but there are resources around the land.
Around the land, yes. If you go to the Red Cross website, which is simply redcross.org, you can type in your zip code and find the Red Cross chapter closest to you, and they will have a list of courses available to you whenever you need it.
Awesome.
And if you're in the greater New York area, of course, you might find LaPeika Shaw there because
you
she's
might.
An instructor with the American Red Cross who's given us a really great lesson on what we need to know about CPR and the AED machines, and now we feel primed and ready.
I'm glad.
So sign up for the course.
Yeah.
Please do. It's very important.
Oh, I thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.